going to start the next Mishnah. And as we have been doing, we will first go through the commentary of the Abarbanel. And we'll see that since he mentioned something in parentheses, we're going to spend perhaps most of the time speaking about that, which is also relevant to current events. Okay, the Mishnah says the following. Yoshua ben Prachya v'nitai ho'arbeili kiblu mehem. This is the third generation of Tanoim, of the ones who authored the Mishnah, and they are a pair. The first one was the Nasi, and the second one the Avbezdin. Yoshua ben Prachya v'nitai ho'arbeili. Yehoshua ben Prachya Omer. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Prachya says, Asei lecha rav, make for yourself a rav, v'knei lecha chaver, and acquire a friend, v'havei donis kol ha'odom lekatzchus, and judge all people favorably. Those are the three things that he said. We'll have to understand what the connection is between the three things, aside from understanding each one separately. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you a little bit about Yoshua ben Prachya, specifically something that the Abarbanel felt important enough to mention. He says like this, Yoshua ben Prachya, hu haya rabo shol Yeshu hanotzri. Yoshua ben Prachya was the Rebbe of Yoshka, the founder of Christianity. And he says, Uveyomov Hiskila Das HaKaroyim. And also in his time, something else tragic happened to the Jewish people, aside from the birth and death of Yoshka. Another thing happened in his time, and that is the sect of the Karoyim. Now we normally think that the sect of the Karoyim started around the 600-700s. We're talking now before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, which was before the year 70. The Karoyim, that the official Karoyim, were started by a person called Anan, who argued with the Gaonim, and in the end split away from Judaism and created this sect called the Karoyim. Karoyim, Kara means the written word. They didn't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh, they only believed in the written Torah. But the Abarbanel says that the Karoyim, this idea, started way back in the time of Yehoshua ben Prachya. And this is not to be confused, we'll see, the Abarbanel himself says, with the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim we learned already about. They were the students of Tzadok and Baitus were the students of what's it called, Antigonus Isocho. And they completely went off the derech, and they denied Bichlal that there's an Olam Haba. They only believed in this world, and they didn't believe in the Mesorah, the tradition of Chazal, but they were really completely removed from Yiddishkeit. The Karoyim basically kept many mitzvahs, and they believed in Olam Haba, Tchias HaMeisim. They just didn't believe in the oral Torah. So he says, what happened? What started these Karoyim? Bavur she'ir lechachomim birushalayim im hamelech hurkenes. Right, the king who was known as Hurkanus, who Chazal called Yanai HaMelech, he was called also Yanai. In Chazal he's called Yanai, and in history he's called Yochanan Hurkanus. So he was not only a king, he also was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen, and he took both offices for himself, the royalty and the Kohuna Gedola. And the Gemara relates that he made a big party Vayeshev HaMelech al HaShulchan im Chachmei Yisrael. He invited all the sages. And he sat at this party together with the sages. Shahoyu Nikroim Prushim. The sages were called the Prushim. Or probably better known in English, the Pharisees. Because of Christianity and the New Testament, the Pharisees seem like some kind of very quaint sect of very mean and strict people. They were what we call the Tanoim. They were the Pharisees, Prushim. Prushim means those that were separated. They were extra careful about spiritual purity and separated pretty much from the physical, material things of this world and involved in learning Torah. So they were called the Prushim. Uketov lev hamelech bayayim. And when the king got a little intoxicated, Omer lohem ani talmidchem. So he said to the chachamim who were there, the sages, he said, I am your student. Im turu osi sor min aderech hanechona hochichuni v'hashivuni el hayishara. He said that if you see that I am straying from the path, I want you to rebuke me and make sure that I walk the straight and narrow. Ki lochem noel hochiach, because you are people who are on the level to give rebuke to others. You yourselves live impeccable lives. And therefore you are the ones who are fit to tell other people, to rebuke other people. Because people who themselves don't live impeccable lives can't give mussar and rebuke very effectively, because the Gemara says that when somebody says, take the toothpick out from between your eyes, the person responds, take the log out between your eyes. Who are you to tell me what to do? Look who's calling the kettle black. Right? So he said to the Chachamim, you are the ones who are fit to give rebuke, even to me, the king and the high priest. And so if you see that something that I'm not doing right, I want you to tell me. Sounds very nice. You'll see that this was all under the influence. So the Chachamim were Chachamim, and they answered him, right, we testify that kitzadik v'tomimata, you are a righteous and perfect person, bidrachecha umelech neman, you're a faithful king, v'kohen gadol chosid, and a righteous kohen gadol ata, v'yismach hamelech al divrehem. And the king liked that kind of rebuke. So he accepted that. That mussar he took. Vayan echad mehem. However, one of them wasn't so smart and didn't realize that the king, with all of his nice sayings, was still, he needed a lot of rebuke, and he wasn't willing to take it. Elazar, one of them, whose name was Elazar, Adam Ra Ubliyayl, and this Elazar himself was not a good person. Sholeach Midonim, Im Avas Lekabel Tochochas Rav, so he said, Im Av, Ahavta Lekabel Tochochas, if you really want to hear what we have to say, right, you want to hear as it is, right, you want to get rebuked. Rav Lecha Keser Malchus, you know, you took the Malchus and the Kahuna Gedola. It's enough that you should be the king. Hanach Keser Kahuna, take off the crown of the Kohen Gadol. Lizaro shel Aaron, and leave that for the children of Aaron. Ki imcha holcha b'shevi b'mei Antiochus, because we know that your mother was captured by the Greeks in the time of Antiochus. V'hi ha'isa chalola, and because of that, there's a question whether she was violated by the Greeks. If she was, her children are no longer Kohanim. She is a chalola, and her children become Chalolim, and they're not Kohanim. They're not fit to be Kohanim, let alone the Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara explains there was a question, there were two witnesses that said that she was captured, and two witnesses that said she wasn't captured. Or two witnesses said she was violated, and two witnesses saying she wasn't violated. And therefore it remained a doubt. So they told him, this person spoke up and told him, you're not really fit to be the Kohen Gadol, because there's a question about your mother's status, and therefore there's a question about your status of being a Kohen altogether. So you surely can't be the Kohen Gadol. V'lochein lo noel l'cholavo b'kodesh hakadoshim. Therefore, it's not proper for you to enter into the Holy of Holies as the Kohen Gadol, because you are a doubtful Kohen altogether. So the king reacted, as you would imagine. Vayikzof ha-melech mod. The king got very angry at hearing this. V'nepach shesonam le'evil. And everybody's party turned into a mourning time. The Yonason Sarah Tzedukim Hayoshev Shoma, and there already existed the sect of the Tzedukim who I told you about, who were the students of Antigonus Isocho, two generations before. Omer Alamelech Shachachomim Tzivu Alamelech Lekalo Be'enei Ha'am. Right, so he added fuel to the fire, and he saw the king was angry at the Perushim, and he didn't like the Perushim either, because the Tzedukim were a renegade sect who the Chachamim distanced from Klal Yisrael, but they had a lot of political power. So he found this an opportunity now to make the king even more upset with the Prushim, and he said, "You should know that these Prushim go and curse the king in the eyes of the people and the princes." The Shalachain Shosku Velo Anu Dover Lelosa. And that's why they kept quiet and they didn't protest what Elazar said. So they must agree with him. Velochain, therefore, the king did what any outstanding king would do who didn't like what he was told. Velochain Horag HaMelech Bayamahu Rabbi Miachachomin. He killed out all the Chachomin. Right? He had them executed. V'yes Elazar ha-mekal sarfu ba'esh. And this Elazar, who got up and told the king off, he had him burnt alive. V'yatsu chaveiru v'havish b'chachom l'kaloso l'misa. And the rest of the people there, who didn't like the chachomim either, gave him advice that he should finish off all the chachomim. U'kidei shelo yitztorech l'limudam. But if you get rid of the chachomim, who's going to teach Torah? Since he wanted to get rid of the Chachamim, but he didn't want to have a problem that there'd be nobody to teach Torah. Yazov Torah Shabbat. So forget about the oral Torah. We don't need the rabbis for the written Torah. Everybody can read it on their own. We only need the rabbis for the oral Torah, especially then when it wasn't written down yet. It was only oral. So let's deny the validity of the oral Torah, and then we won't need any rabbis. And then you can get rid of them. We'll still keep mitzvahs just according to the way they're written in the Torah. This were the Karoyim. The Karoyim exist even today. They have their heyday again around the time that of the Gaonim, time that Islam began around the 600s, 700s, I think around there. And they exist even till today. There is even a Karaite synagogue in Ramlah, not too far away from where we live. And Yitzchak Ben Tzvi, who was one of the presidents of State of Israel, right? He was very fond of the Karoyim. He himself wasn't a Karoy, and he supported them. In fact, their synagogue, won't call it a shul, surely not a Beis HaKnesses, but their synagogue is dedicated in his memory, Yitzchak Ben Tzvi. In any case, the Karoyim, because they didn't believe in the oral Torah, so they went according to just what it says in the written Torah. So some of the things they did is, it says you're not allowed to light fires on Shabbos. So they understood that to mean that there can't be any fire burning on Shabbos. Not that you can't light it on Shabbos, you can't, right? One of the reasons that we light candles before Shabbos shows that we don't believe in this. You're allowed to have fire burning on Shabbos. You can't burn it. You can't light it on Shabbos. So they sat in the dark the whole Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
They used to. It says you should put the tzitzis where you can see it. They used to hang it on their doorposts. Their tzitzis. They didn't therefore have any hot food for Shabbos because they couldn't have any fires going. So they only ate cold food, and therefore it says somebody who doesn't eat cholent on Shabbos, or at least drink some hot tea, you have to suspect him of being a karoi. So you have another extra mitzvah to eat cholent on Shabbos, aside from all the other reasons that you may want to do it, to show that you're not a karoi. In any case, they still exist today. The original schism with the karoyim, to a certain degree, started. Like I said, they had a person who argued with one of the gaonim, with the Psadya Gaon, on when Rosh Hashanah was. The Chachamim said it was one day based on their calculations, and he felt it was a different day. And that's how they started this split off from normative Yiddishkeit. Va'oz geireshes haChachamim, and then Yanai exiled the Chachamim that he didn't kill. Ubeklolam hayeshimim ben Shetach, shayechosein hamelech. Shimon ben Shetach was the brother-in-law of Yanai. He married Yanai's sister. Shimon ben Shetach was one of the Gedolei Yisrael of his time, the heads of that generation. We're going to learn about him later. V'rabu ha-machlokas b'Yerushalayim. There was tremendous controversy in Yerushalayim. V'nishbechu domim rabim ba'am Hashem. And much blood was spilled. Kidalas ha-ham oyer mechachomim aprushim. Because the commoners, the majority of the people supported the chachomim. And the aristocracy, they were with the king. And they tried to keep Yiddishkeit going just according to their own understanding and without any chachamim, and it didn't work. Until the king realized that he can't run a nation without the Chachamim, so he brought back his brother-in-law Shimon ben Shetach and the Chachamim that were left. The Talmidov and his students, they had run away to Alexandria in Egypt to escape the persecution of the king. He brought them back. The Shova HaRabonis VaHaKabola LeEsona. And then the position of the rabbis, the sages, and the position of the Torah was restored. But what remained were some people who didn't give up this idea of forsaking the oral Torah and only going according to the written Torah. Porkin me'aleim Torah shebal peh. The Ein Elikas Tzadiku Baitis. This is not to be confused, says the Abarbanel, with the sect of the Tzedukim, the Sadducees. Pharisees, Sadducees, that's from New Testament fame. That's not the same sect. Ki Tzedukim VaBaitusim, the Tzedukim and Baitusim, who started two generations earlier as students of Antigonus Isocho, that when they heard their Rebbe say, don't serve God in order to receive reward, they assume there is no reward. And they deny that there's a world to come. They completely went off the dare. Hey, minim ve'apikursim. They are heretics. Machishim olam haba. They don't believe in the world to come. Ve'enam me'akaroyim. They're not karoyim. Karoyim believe in the world to come. They believe in, basically, in Yiddishkeit, they just don't believe in the oral Torah. This is something that you'll find in Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's Kuzari, where he has a historical fiction with the king of the Khazars, who converted to Judaism along with his entire kingdom many, many years earlier. So is the tradition. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who lived in Spain in the probably 1100s, 1200s, I'm not sure, around there. He wrote a historical fiction of the debate between the king and this chacham, and in that way he presented the entire hashkafa and understanding of the foundations of Yiddishkeit. This is the means that he used. In there, he has the Chacham explaining to the king of the Khazars, before he converted, who the Tzedukim were and who the Karoyim were, and that they were not the same set. The Sof Maimer Agimel. Okay. So he says, and therefore, this pair, Yoshua ben Prachya and Nitai Arbeli, they were from the third generation of Tanoim, and then he goes on to explain. What he didn't say, he only said in passing, is that Yoshua ben Prachya was the Rebbe of Yeshu HaNotri. So there are parts of the Gemara that have been censored out, and by the Christians mostly, throughout the generations. And there are editions of the Talmud that are uncensored, that survive the censor. They never were allowed to be printed. Yeah?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do we still have the censorship there? I don't know what's it. Why do we still have
the
edition of the Talmud?
For two reasons. First of all, this little book is called Chesronos Hashas. All the things that were censored out have been printed separately. There are editions of the Gemara where those censored part were put back in. However, since the Goyim felt it important enough to censor out, we're still in Golis, okay? And even in America, Kol Shekein V'Kol Shekein, other places in the world, especially where there are very strong Catholic countries, okay, there are still Goyim who accuse us of using blood for matzahs. Okay, so in this very progressive and enlightened enlightened world, right, there are still great Meshugoyim around. Okay? And they believe this. And even nice Goyim, right, who never saw a Jew in their life, believe this about Jews. I was once shipwrecked, car wrecked, in Ashtabula, Ohio. I wanted to surprise my wife. We were just recently married, and I learned in Cleveland in Tells, and she went for the summer to her parents in Ellenville, New York, and I was going to meet her there. I wanted to surprise her and come a little bit early. Zman was over. This was, you know, Ben Azmanim. So I decided to drive from Cleveland to New York. It was a 10-hour drive. The car I had, which is not different than the cars I have since then, was not up to a 10-hour drive. And I got as far as Ashtabula, Ohio, which is a little redneck community. And on early Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, the car started to overheat. And being young and inexperienced, I figured that I could drive a little bit farther, you know, till I get to a gas station. And then the car looked like a missile with a big black smoke coming out the back. And then it just stopped and then exploded. And there I was on the highway outside of Ashtabula, Ohio, about 7 o'clock Sunday morning. And there were no cell phones. There was no way of contacting anybody. And all of a sudden, somebody passed by in a pickup truck. And he said that he has a gas station, a car mechanic in Ashtabula. And he'd be happy to tow my car into Ashtabula and to see what he could do to help me. And so he gave me a ride into Ashtabula, and they towed my car. And this was 7 o'clock Sunday morning. He had to wake up his boss, right, so they could work on my car. I was like the most interesting thing that ever happened in Ashtabula, Ohio, that I was there, this guy in his suit and hat. In any case, the guy looked at the car, and he tells me the following. He says, look, I ain't no Jew, and I'm not trying to Jew you. but your car is finished. I'll buy it for $50 if you want, and that's a lot. He said, so I said, look, I really would like a second opinion, because I ain't a Jew either, and I don't want to Jew you either. I was thinking to myself, right, you know, he's not a Jew, right? I really wasn't choshed that he was, but he doesn't know who I am either. Right? He's never seen a Jew in his life. He thinks Jews have horns. And he's a very nice guy, so nice that these people stored my car for the duration of Bein HaZmanim, didn't charge me a penny. I came back and got it and had it towed into Cleveland, and the taka was finished. He's 100% right. And not only that, I had a lot of Sfarim with me that I was taking for Bein HaZmanim. They drove me 90 miles to the nearest airport, only charged me for the gas. And at that time, it didn't cost that much, the gas.
What year?
This was 1969 or 70.
That's recent.
That's recent, okay. But the gas was still...
Right.
In any case, so they drove me to the airport. Meanwhile, as I was taking my Sfarim out of the car, so I was really afraid that they're going to see all these Hebrew books and they're going to figure out who I am. So Baruch Hashem, the whole city was there, because like this was the most exciting thing that happened in Eshtabula probably in years. This like person landed from Mars dressed like, you know, they never saw anybody dressed like me in their life. And Baruch Hashem, one kid said, "Hey, are those Greek books?" I said, "Yeah, you got it right. Those are Greek books, and I'm a Greek school teacher." He said, "Oh, very interesting." So they had this Greek school teacher that ended up in their place. They kept my Greek books until I was able to come back. But this is 1969, 1970. People who don't know what a Yid is, they look at me in the face, tell me they're not Jews, and they're not trying to Jew me, meaning to cheat me.
I've been told that by a Jew.
Okay. Yeah.
On a TV show, the famous black performer, somebody came and said, talked about the blood libel like it was the truth. And she allowed it.
Yeah, okay. Then what's it called? It's not only the Palestinians promote that.
10 years ago or something.
And there are many other things. Therefore, since this was censored out, and to a certain degree, it flames the flames of anti-Semitism. Even though to put it back into the Gemara, or to start in Chutzlar, to say Aleinu l'shabeach, Shehei mishtachavim lehevel v'ri, we don't want to start up with the guy. There's no purpose to do something that could endanger Jewish lives. So therefore, in most cases, the Gemaras have been reprinted without the censored part, and they've put the censored part into a separate Chesronos Hashas. The 1 second. There are Gemaras that say, no, today we can do what we want. And the Goyim really couldn't care less what it says in the Talmud, for the most part. And therefore, they reprinted Gemaras with the censored parts put back in. Yes?
So what are the censored parts?
Oh, so I'm not going to tell you all the censored part of the Gemara, but I'm going to tell you something that was in two or three things that speak about Yashka, and you'll see why the Christians censored it out. Yeah.
I want to tell you about maybe 30 years ago, as you know, Earl Richelieu was a CPA, an Internal Revenue Service agent, a woman, that came to check up on one of our clients. And she didn't know anything about the office or anything, but she heard he was a Jew. She'd never met a Jew in her life. She says, "Mr. Goldstein, would you mind if I ask you a question? Where are your horns? I've never met a Jew before. Where are your horns?"
Right. No, they right.
There was an intelligent Internal Revenue Service.
Where did that come from? Michelangelo made a statue of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
And Moshe Rabbeinu had rays of light coming from his head. But you can't sculpture rays of light. So he made two horns on his head of rays of light. So from there, they assumed that if Moshe Rabbeinu had horns, all Jews after that have horns too. In any case. Now let me tell you one part of the Gemara that was censored out, a Gemara that's in Sota. The Gemara says like this: Lo ke'elisha shedochfu legeichazi b'shtei yodayim. In Tanakh, Elisha Hanavi, right, when Gehazi went to Naaman and took from him what Elisha said, no one should take anything, he cured Naaman and he refused to take any compensation, and Gehazi saw this was a chance to get rich. Gehazi, right? So he went and told Naaman that Elisha sent him to get some things for some poor students.
Oh.
Right, and he took some gold, he took some clothing, hid it, and Elisha was a prophet, he knew what happened, and he cursed him with being a Metzora for the rest of his life. He became a leper. And the Gemara says that Elisha was wrong. Not like Elisha that pushed away Gehazi with both hands, the Loki Yoshua ben Prachya, and not like Yoshua ben Prachya, the one who is the author of this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, who pushed away Yeshua also with two hands. You never push away somebody with both hands. But the Gemara is going to say, but you pull them close with the right hand and push them away with the left hand. But you never reject somebody totally, because not good things don't come from that. Why? Then the Gemara explains what happened with Elisha, right? And then the Gemara says like this: what happened with Yoshua ben Prachya, Maihu? This is all not in our Gemara. It was expunged from the Gemara, and there are editions of the Gemara recently printed that have it in. But it's in this Sefer Yisroel Sashas. What happened with Yoshua ben Prachya? When Yanai HaMelech killed the Chachomim, like we just learned in the Abarbanel. Shimon ben Shetach at Minu Achse. Shimon ben Shetach was hidden by his sister, who was the sister of Yanai. So he was the brother-in-law of the king. His sister hid him away, that he shouldn't be killed. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya Ozel Orek Alexandria. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya didn't have that protection. He ran away to Alexandria, together with a lot of the other Chachomim, like the Abarbanel said, that they had escaped to Alexandria to escape being executed by the king. Kihavi Shalma, when the king decided that he made a mistake and he wanted to bring the Chachomim back, right? Sholach lei Shimon ben Shetach. So first Shimon ben Shetach came out of hiding, and the king told him, "I want you to bring back the Chachomim. I regret what I did, and I will let them live in peace." So Shimon ben Shetach sent to Yoshua ben Prachya the following letter. Mini Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh L'chol Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, right, from Yerushalayim, the holy city, to the city of Alexandria in Egypt. Achosi Bali Shori B'Sochech V'ani Yosheves Shomema, as if the city was saying, we are desolate because our sages are in Alexandria. Omar Shmami No Havili Shama, he understood from that that there was peace and they could come out of hiding, out of exile, and come back to Eretz Israel. Ki Asa, so Yeshua ben Prachya came back with his students. One of his students was Yeshua HaNotri. Now his real name was Yeshua, right? In English, it's Jesus. But in Hebrew, it's Yeshua, Yud Shin Vav Ayin. That was his name. He is referred to as Yeshu, Yud Shin Vav. Many say that that is a kitzer, right? It's the Rosh Tevos of Yemach Shemo V'Zichro, right? May his name be blotted out. That's called Yeshu.
Because Yeshu is the way Spanish people pronounce his name.
Okay, that could be. That could be. So, but in any case, but in the New Testament, he is Yeshua, Yud Shin Vav Ayin. So then, right, so he said, what's it called? Ki Isa Ikla Lahu Shpiza. On the way back from Alexandria, they stopped in an inn. Kom Kamayu Biyakra Shaper Avdilei Yakra Tova. So they treated these sages with great respect. The Goyim of the inn, right? Stopped in an inn and they were served head and toe, mamish, like royalty. Because they realize that these are special people. Yossi v'komishtabach kamenoach san yezu. So Reb Shuv ben Prachya, out of gratitude, said how beautiful and becoming is this inn. But Yeshua, his student, thought he was talking about the innkeeper, the waitress that was waiting on them. And that he was saying, she's a nice looking lady. Omar le Rebbe, Eina Trutos. Yeah, but her eyes aren't that nice. That's what he answered. Omar le Rosha, the Kachat Ose, said, this is my student. You're looking at the women here? I said, I'm talking about the inn. You're talking about the waitress? He said, what's it called? This is not befitting a young Talmud Chacham. Right? Ata Othik Dalid Mea Shippure, he took out 400 chauffeurs and put them in Cherem. Put this Yeshua in Cherem. You're not fit to be a student in my yeshiva. Kol Yoma, so this Yeshua came to him a few times and asked to be forgiven. Also the Kamei Velo Kibli. He came to him twice and he didn't accept him. He pushed him away. He didn't forgive him. Yumachad Havikori Kriyashma. One day, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachi was reading Kriyashma. He was in the middle of davening. Also the Kamei. Right, and he came to him and again to ask forgiveness, but he didn't realize that Yeshua ben Prachya was davening. And b'dayte l'kibule, and Yeshua ben Prachya had in mind that he's going to forgive him now, but he was in the middle of davening. Right, achvi le biyodei, so he made a motion like, you know, wait, but he misunderstood the motion as if to say, get out of here, I'm not forgiving you again. He said, I tried three times already, and he hasn't forgiven me. Ozel Zokov Levensa, so he went and he decided, if I'm not going to be accepted over here in the yeshiva, I'm going off the derech. He put up a brick and he served it as a idol. Omer Le Chazorbach, right, so his Rebbe told him, come back, do tshuva. Omer Le Kach Mikublani Mimcho Kol Achote Umachti Sarab and Mima speaking Bior Las Tshuva. He said, what's it called? At that point he had gone out and really taught other people. This was not one day. This was over a period of time. And Rabbi Shua ben Prachya begged him, right? You've gone far away and you've taught other people and pushed them away from the Torah. And he said, you taught me that somebody who sins and makes other people sin has a hard time doing tshuva. So I realized that the gates of tshuva are closed to me. Ain ma speaking as a tshuva. The Omar Mar Yeshu kishet the hesis the hidiach the hechtias Israel. Yeshu eventually went and preached things against the Torah and caused other people to sin, and that is the part that is one of the parts. Next time I will tell you some other parts, but that's one of the parts that's censored out, and that is Yeshua ben Prachya, and the Gemara blames Yeshua ben Prachya for pushing away Yeshu with both hands. Right, and we have to learn from that reject a person, there's a better word, whatever, right, condemn, reject, right, a person completely. You pull him closer with the right hand, push him away with the left hand. And Rav Simcha Wasserman, I heard, said when you do that, you shake the guy up. So hopefully he'll rethink his ways and repent. But that's what happened to Gehazi, and that's what happened to Yeshua HaNotzri. And Christianity basically, according to this Gemara, began because of a Rebbe that totally rejected a student that he shouldn't have rejected totally. So it's a lesson to learn from that too. Okay, in any case, Amir Tzashem, next week we were going to continue a little bit more about Christianity, and it would have been better this week, since this is the day after the secular New Year's, right, which we will see is a holiday that really has nothing to do with Christianity. There are fundamentalist Christians who don't celebrate Christmas because they don't believe it's a Christian holiday. It's basically a Roman holiday, and it became a Roman holiday, but it was started by Adam HaRishon. It started out as a really faithful holiday to God. It was distorted by the Romans, and it was adopted by the Christians when the Roman Empire became became Christian. That we'll speak about next week.
December 25th
and January 1st, both of them. We'll see. Both of them are holidays mentioned in the Gemara as Roman holidays.